Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Josh Davis has an important update on our outreach to prisoners, and Dr. Lonnie Shipman will conclude his series helping us better understand and study our Bibles. Faithful friends, our effort to have monthly supporters join the work here at Southwest Radio Ministries. I'm so excited to let you know that we have individuals and families that have committed to supporting SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall on a monthly basis. Will you join these faithful friends with your monthly gift? Visit swrc.com and click on Donate Now, or simply call 1-800-652-1144. Please, friends, be one of the faithful friends. Your recurring monthly gift, it helps us continue this kingdom-sized mission every single day. Now, here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino.
Thank you, Dr. Lonnie Shipman, for being with us one more time. We're going to continue talking about your 260-page guidebook to the incomparable Bible. It's a wonderful book. Like I've been telling everyone, it's a good reference book. It's something that, you know, you don't sit down and read through the first time. Now, you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can always go back to it and understand the basic principles of biblical interpretation. I also want to point out something I did before, that the endorsements are marvelous from really top-flight Bible scholars. And they know Dr. Shipman. They know his work. He's done so much. The Bible and music, the stars, on and on and on. He's a good prophetic author. He knows a lot about the Bible, and he has a wonderful way of conveying Bible truth. So this book, Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible, is a 260-page book. It will be your introduction to understanding the Bible and finding the joy of self-discovery. I think, Dr. Lonnie, if we know something about the Bible and we begin to discover something in the Bible ourselves because we're understanding it, boy, what joy that brings to our hearts. So thank you so much for being with us once again.
Thank you so much. Yes, God bless you all.
You and I well know, of course, that there are various kinds of dispensationalists, but as a, quote, normative dispensationalist, I believe that all Scripture is for us, but not all Scripture is about us. And many, many years ago, when I came across this basic principle that's a clear teaching of normative dispensationalism, everything opened up to me. All Scripture is for us, but not all Scripture is about us. Tell us about that phrase, and also you've got other aspects of kingdom and what the Bible is speaking about for different ages and different times. And I think this will help our listeners realize that this is the book that they want to purchase and want to study from. So tell us about all Scripture is for us, but not all Scripture is about us.
Well, even before that, the idea that God, first of all, is dealing with certain themes throughout the Bible. There's really five main areas of Bible study. First of all, we have the God dealing with the nation of Israel, or Abraham and his line, the Jewish people, the literal nation of Israel. Then we have God dealing with the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. So the church starts in the New Testament, and we have the message of the church and God working through the church. We have also the kingdom, which is the millennium time, when God rules as king for 1,000 years on earth. So there's prophecies of the coming millennium. Then the millennium later comes, and we have things that happen then. And we have prophecies about the dispensations. So the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is not the same as Moses giving the law. It's not the same as the tribulation, and not the same as the millennium when Christ is king, or the church today. So all these are different time periods, dispensations. Then the last is Christology, Jesus, and salvation in every book and every chapter of the Bible. So you understand it's talking about either Israel, the church, kingdom, dispensations, or Jesus and salvation. You understand the odd of the Bible quicker. Now then you need to study what are the dispensations. Now, the dispensations is a particular way in which God deals with man with respect to sin and man's responsibility. Right. So as a time period, God is working with man a certain way. Then you have also covenants. There's 8 dispensations and 8 covenants. And so the covenants is when God makes an agreement with man to do a certain thing. So you have these different covenants also. So if you understand these areas, all the Bible opens up quickly to you. But you would be amazed how much it just quickly opens up as you see these five areas. It's not just talking in general about the world. It's dealing with certain specific areas.
Amen, amen. Well, I remember Dr. Noah Hutchings. I guess a lot of our listeners remember him. He's with the Lord now. But he wrote a book. It was very helpful to me. God is a dispensationalist. And I know that made some people very angry. But I think God is a dispensationalist, and what you just pointed out is so important. But, you know, time is going, and I want to pick your brain a little bit, and I know the listeners are listening and want to hear your response, and that is, what are some of the tools to help us better understand the Bible, such as commentaries, lexicons, study Bibles, and some of the other tools? You know, some people say, well, I just go to the Bible and read the Bible. Well, they don't generally get very much out of it. You need some help. So what are these tools that a person can use in learning more about the Bible and understanding it correctly?
Well, there are many, many different kinds of tools used for different ways. In the same way that a mechanic or an expert in certain engineering would use certain tools for computer work and other tools to fix the car. So you don't use the same tool for everything.
Right.
Now, as I'm going through the book, I deal with how to study a verse, how to study a book,
yeah,
how to study a chapter of the Bible, how to study a character of the Bible, and then how to study different areas such as poetry or prophecy, what we call genres, how to study figures of speech, how to study types. As I'm dealing with all these things, I give you all the tools for each area.
Right.
So to name all the tools you need quickly, well, that'd be a lot. It depends on the area you're doing. There's certain ones that are better. Precious Revelation, I mentioned some of the best study books for Revelation. Or if you're talking about different kind of commentaries, there's several kinds of commentaries, exegetical, there are some for devotional and different ones. So I mentioned some of the leading commentaries. Probably one of the best things is the new Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It was first done by R.A. Torrey,
yeah,
now been expanded, and it's really fantastic, and it helps you compare Scripture with other Scripture throughout the Bible. That's indispensable. And certain other commentaries are helpful. I have certain favorites and certain books that I enjoy the best. This is to give you a quick overview of all the Bible,
right,
to help you go deeper into the Word. I believe that many people don't even know how to start, so we're trying to help them start.
Right.
To help them to go deeper and deeper. So we have the first easy level of study, then how to do inductive study, then how to study a verse, a word, a chapter, a character, and in other words, whole sections on that, then how to study prophecy, how to study poetry, all these different areas. What are the secret figures of speech? There's a chapter involved, very involved in typology. There's 10 main areas of how to understand the Bible, and later even how to teach and preach the Bible. So all this is covered, but in depth. But if we start easy, we go deeper and deeper. It takes time to cover all of it.
Right, right. A lot of people say, well, I just read the Bible. Well, just think it a minute. First of all, the Scripture was written several centuries ago. It wasn't written in English, and it certainly wasn't written in King James English. Now, I'm not poking fun at the King James, but I'm just saying, you know, it was written in a different language to different people who had different backgrounds. There were different, what should I say, situations. There was a war going on. There was a famine going on. There was a apostasy going on. Just coming to the Bible and reading the Bible, you don't know that. So you've got to get back. The really important point is, what did the Bible say to its original listeners or hearers?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's the key. So you've got to go back 2,000 years ago. That's why we need these helps. And I think a lot of people say, well, you use a commentary. Oh, that's not very spiritual. Yes, it is. Come on. We have to use our brains. God gave us a mind. God gave us a brain as well. And I think to have a sanctified mind and brain is a wonderful thing, where you learn certain things that you don't normally know, but when you learn these things, oh, now I understand what the Bible is talking about. That's so very, very important. So here's another related question, and this is a hot one. We know that the Bible was mainly written in Hebrew and Greek with a small portion in Aramaic. Do scholars today understand those languages, or is it impossible? Some people say, well, it's impossible to know what the original languages meant. Now, I've studied the original languages, but what's your comment on that? Is it all lost in antiquity? Is everybody confused? Does nobody know what Hebrew said and what Greek said?
as you know, you also have advanced education in Bible. When I was in seminary, I also took many different languages myself. Well, I'm not claiming to be a language expert, as some people I know. I did take 9 languages in Bible college and 3 years of Greek and all that. But other people are stronger in these languages than I am. However, we know that we can understand the Bible clearly because the Bible is translated very accurately. It's gathered together in the ancient manuscripts. We cover this in King of Books, how God led people to gather together the ancient manuscripts and make a complete copy together, not just in various scrolls, but in one collection. Here's the ancient Hebrew. Another collection, here's the ancient Greek. So the ancient Hebrew was done with a Masoretic text in the 900s by Maimonides in Tiberias. And that became that. They even have copies of that. They did then call it the Aleppo Codex. Talk about it in detail in that King of Books book. And that's the basis of all Old Testament books. All Old Testament Bibles we have. In other words, our King James and any other English translation of the Old Testament. The New Testament was collected primarily first by Erasmus, Desiderius Erasmus, in the 1500s, and later by Beza, Theodore Beza, by the Elsevier family, and also by Robert Stephanus. And that collection became the received text, which they called the Textus Receptus. Same thing the rabbis called their Old Testament, being that we have actually now the collected very Word of God. We know all of these different manuscripts, over 25,000. They compared them. They see how God's preserved all the lines of the Bible correctly, accurately. And then we have so much knowledge today, and you can even access a lot of it today on the Internet, about how to study each word in Greek or Hebrew. So we know the Bible is preserved. There's no question about it. We know it's preserved accurately, and we have it today in our own hands, without a doubt, even in our King James Version.
Yes, you're absolutely right. In fact, one of the great thrills in my life was when I was taking first semester Greek, and I read John 3:16 in Greek, and I said, wow. I mean, I had goosebumps all over, you know, just to go back. And guess what it says? Well, it says just what our English Bibles say today. No difference, for God so loved the world. Yeah, that was a revelation to me, and I got goosebumps all over, and I love the Bible more. So, I'm reading John 3:16 in the original language of at least Koine New Testament. It was a great, great idea.
And that's what amazed me. The first time I did that, too, in Bible college, we translated John 3, and it was literally word for word the King James Version. I thought, this is amazing. I see how God preserved it. And by the way, the King James Version was translated at the heights of the English language.
Yes.
It was the very pinnacle of its ability to express God's word when it was translated. And it's the most beautiful of the English translations ever done.
Yes.
We can trust it with confidence.
You're right. In fact, in my personal scripture memorization, I used the KJV. Well, to put it plainly, it sounds biblical. Okay. So,
and it's also easier to memorize than all the others. By the way, they found the King James Version. It's easier for children to understand than any other English version. Oxford University did a study, and they've recently done another study, another organization here in America, and they found that they can memorize it almost, they can understand it and learn it almost doubly as fast as some of the other English translations. So it's a blessing to have King James Version still.
Yes. Well, just an incidental note, you know, in our church, which is Chinese church, mainly Chinese, I'm one of the foreigners, but anyhow, they love me and I love them, and Jesus loves us all, so we have no problem. But one of the things I've noticed in some of the translation of Chinese worship songs, guess what a Bible version they're using? The KJV. There's just a beauty to the KJV. And I'm seeing more and more contemporary praise songs using KJV, King James Version English. It's so wonderful. However, okay, we want to get back to some of the basics. Why do some Christians have different interpretations of the Bible? Are there basic Bible truths that all Christians agree on? And of course, I know the answer to that, but that's a big issue. Well, nobody agrees with each other. You're all fighting each other, blah, 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 blah. No, there are some basic Bible truths that we all agree on. But tell us a little bit about why Christians disagree. What does that mean? Does that mean we don't know what the Bible says? Or does it mean, there's some things that are on the periphery and they're harder to understand. But as far as the core doctrines, everybody agrees on that. Maybe you could expound on that.
Yes. That's actually the main reason I felt burdened to write the book. Because I started hearing young growing Christians, even a few younger preachers, who were very confused about the Bible. And I'm like, well, I can't imagine these young preachers even being confused about these things. And I started wondering, why are they confused? And so then I started realizing they're confused because they don't really understand how to interpret the Bible. How does the Bible teach to understand itself? Jesus interpreted the Bible literally. Jesus believed in the literal creation. He believed in Noah being swallowed by a whale, and Noah being in the belly of a whale 3 days and nights, rising again. So, and he used Jonah swallowed by the whale, and Jonah being buried and then in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, then coming out. That's a picture of Jesus himself later being in the heart of the earth. So he believed in these things literally, and he interpreted the Bible, the Old Testament, literally, and the ideas of the interpretation came about while the Jews were in Babylon. All the basics of what we call hermeneutics, or how to understand the Bible, was created at that time as Jews studied the Word of God. They didn't have the temple to go worship in anymore. They were now in Babylon. So they turned instead to study the Word of God, and then developed all these rules, which is the same rules Jesus used, and exactly the same rules I cover in my book. We interpret the Bible literally. Now, the false teaching comes about when people are either taking their own ideas or taking some other teaching.
Yes.
And trying to put it on top of the Bible.
Yes.
We call that eisegesis. They're reading a teaching into the Bible that's not even there. Or they change the words to be some other words. Some people say that grace is not grace, works is not works. They change the meaning of these words. And faith is not faith. Well, if they make faith works and different things. So if you change the meaning of words, you're changing the Bible. So we've got to get back to what the Bible says. So if we interpret the Bible literally, we will come almost always to the same view of everything. Now, there's some little variations we know, but I would say 95-98% of the time even, we come very, very close. Now, we might argue about a few little details that are not really essential, but all the big details are very, very clear.
Absolutely. And I know, like you've written on the temple in Ezekiel 40 through 48, I know people have allegorized that they don't agree on anything. You know, when you start allegorizing, it could be anything. But if you take it fairly literally, as it's meant to be taken, I think you can understand. One time I didn't believe that there was a literal temple, but I do believe that one day in the future, we're going to see a rebuilt temple in the millennium. And how do you get that? By taking the Bible literally. So wonderfully to do that. Yeah.
Why, I wrote an earlier book about that called Treasure in the Coming Temple of God.
Yes.
I believe there is no coming temple. And they say, well, to do that, there's not, it's too big a temple to fit on the mountain. It wouldn't even fit there today, and that's why. In the book, it shows God told us in the Bible, God will raise up three mountains together.
Yes.
It won't fit today, but will fit in the millennium time. So all the Bible is true if you take it literally.
Yes. Here's a related question. I've had this question thrown at me, especially by kids. You know, we have some really smart kids. Little Chinese kids are really smart. You better be careful what they'll ask you, but they say, well, Pastor Larry, isn't this hard to believe? We've never seen a virgin have a baby. We've never seen a dead man come alive. We've never seen the Red Sea open. How am I to believe that? Is that true? What's your response to that? I've got a good answer, but let me see what you say to that.
Well, the Bible tells us that God is supernatural.
Yes.
Beyond us, and there are miracles.
Yes.
You have to believe in a miraculous God to believe the Bible, and God gave his word supernaturally. It wasn't just men writing down their ideas. They did sometimes use their literary style, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says.
Yes.
Literally giving us the very word of God. And then we know all these miracles happened, and then the people rejoiced over God throughout the book of Psalms and other places about the miracles they saw. Later we had eyewitnesses in the New Testament who over and over again wrote about the miracles they saw. And then God specifically wrote out specific ways of even telling us this. For instance, the first witnesses of the resurrection were women. Well, if you're trying to prove a falsehood, if you're trying to lie about something like a resurrection, at the time period, you would not use women, because women were not normally believed.
Right.
They would not be a primary source. So here God is specifically letting women see him resurrected first to show that he's not just trying to make up some story. The last person you'd want to believe about is a woman, but the first person who saw Jesus was a woman. So he's showing us that everyone knew it was true. They weren't trying to go to some extreme to prove a lie. It was clearly true. Eyewitnesses were there, and they could go ask the people thousands of people saw Jesus probably. Right. They could go ask the people after the resurrection, what did you see? What happened? They were still living for decades, you see.
Well, you know, I've often thought it would make me be very doubtful of the Bible if everything was in perfect agreement. I would say, okay, some guys have been working together to make sure that everything agrees. Well, everything does agree, like we said, there's no contradictions, but because they're not trying to fool anybody, they're reporting what they saw. And I think that's one of the proofs of the inspiration, validity, and truthfulness of the Word of God, that it's not just something smooth like a computer program. Oh yeah, everything agrees, we got the exact page number, the exact words. No, there are some differences because in reality, when you're observing, you do see differences. You don't all see like everybody else sees, you see differently depending on your character, where you are, what's happening to you. So I think the Bible, with all of its differences, not contradictions, but differences, comes through powerfully as the Word of God. And one of the most amazing things, if you trust Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, wow, you will believe the Bible. Dr. Shipman, thank you so much for these three programs and also for your labors in providing Christians with a very useful tool that will help them get many hours of instruction and blessing from their Bible reading. God bless you, dear brother.
Bless you, be with you again. God bless y'all.
This week, we're debuting Dr. Lonnie Shipman's brand new book, Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible, Knowing and Studying God's Word. Is there any way to truly understand the Bible? Can its mysteries really be grasped? Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible is written to answer those very questions, inviting readers to explore the world's most extraordinary book and discover the divine wisdom that has changed lives for centuries. Designed for both seekers and believers, this guide introduces the Bible's grand story, from creation and covenant to redemption and restoration. It explains how every book and passage fits into God's eternal plan, showing that the Scriptures are not a random collection of writings, but a living, unified revelation of God's truth. Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible also offers clear, practical methods for studying, teaching, and preaching the Word of God. So whether you're a pastor, teacher, or simply a student of Scripture, you'll find valuable insights and proven study techniques that make the Bible come alive with meaning and relevance. Order Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible today. Visit swrc.com or simply call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. Through its pages, readers are going to learn how to approach Scripture with confidence, discover spiritual secrets hidden in plain sight, and develop a deeper, more personal relationship with the author of the book himself. Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible, Knowing and Studying God's Word by Dr. Lonnie Shipman. 800-652-1144. Here's staff evangelist Josh Davis with an important update on our Onesimus prison ministry.
Friends, thank you so much for your prayers and partnership with us in ministry. Because of faithful friends like you, faithful prayer partners like you, we are able to take the gospel behind bars into places that few of us would ever physically travel, and yet, through the means of radio and now through the means of TV, we're able to broadcast behind bars. Thank you so much for enabling Southwest Radio Ministries to reach these people. And I want to share with you a couple of letters that we have received recently that show some of the fruit of this ministry. As I often like to say, I don't share this to pat SWRC on the back for our outreach efforts, but so that you know, when you invest in this ministry, friends, exactly the kinds of results and spiritual fruit that God is allowing to grow. As you invest into lives of people, you see, Jesus didn't see anyone as a nobody. In fact, friends, when you go about your day, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whatever you may be doing, anywhere that you are, everywhere that you are, and you encounter another human being, guess what? You have encountered a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere. That's right, you never encounter someone who will not go into eternity. Every person that you see, maybe you're sitting in traffic right now and you're seeing a lot of cars around you. Well, guess what? Every single one of those people represents a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere. And so it is with the inmates that we are allowed to minister to. And we want to once more say thank you, friends, for enabling us to minister to these souls, these dear souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them have been saved. Many of them have rededicated their lives to the Lord. Many of them are being discipled and are growing in the Lord and are now seeking ways that they can invest in the lives of other inmates around them. And not just invest and minister to and witness to other inmates around them, but also the prison staff that is working there with them and among them. So it's amazing to see what God is able to do with a life once was broken, but now is made whole through the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of these letters that I want to share with you as an update will help you to understand some of the fruit of what God is doing through the SWRC Onesimus Prison Outreach Ministry. One inmate writes us, "Thank you for your continued fellowship for his brethren in the body of Christ. We are commanded to love one another." So friends, every time you purchase a calendar from SWRC, you're enabling us to send two calendars for free to inmates across America. And I just encourage you, prayerfully consider getting one of those calendars. You can contact us at 1-800-652-1144 to purchase yours today. Again, toll free 1-800-652-1144 or visit swrc.com. Thank you so much for your prayers and your partnership with us in ministry.
Dr. Lonnie Shipman's brand new book, Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible, offers clear, practical methods for studying, teaching, and preaching the Word of God. Whether you're a pastor, teacher, or simply a student of Scripture, you'll find valuable insights and proven study techniques that make the Bible come alive with meaning and relevance. Order Guidebook to the Incomparable Bible today when you visit our website, swrc.com, or call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Donald Perkins will continue his series, helping us better understand the book of Revelation. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.